Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small really throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism. A drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
But is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Fruit ruins insulin sensitivity.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
You gotta cut carbs for 30 days.
Always know every
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Signos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Yo, it's your boy H Black the Source, Harry Pinner, and welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, the one and only Culture Cams.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys. It's the second week of the season.
Yeah.
We're gearing up for another amazing season again. Of course, the first week was amazing. We both went to Old Trafford to watch Man United against Fulham.
Mighty Reds.
Yeah, Mighty Reds. Mm. I had obviously an amazing experience because I did some hosting at UA92, which is a university that is run by Gary Neville. I went to go see the facilities. It's amazing. Like a proper university. Yeah. Very, you know, they got links with Lancaster University as well. So shout out to them. We did an amazing talk with Merkey FC. But then after that, it was that walk. And honestly, it felt good to be back. You know, just walking and seeing the fans, like, there's nothing better than Premier League football, in my opinion. Yeah, it's nothing better. Yeah. We got the win. But how was your experience? Because obviously, I couldn't be there with you, but, you know.
Yeah, no, it was a good experience. Great experience, obviously, connected through Adidas as well.
Yep.
Obviously, you couldn't be there, but, you know, I met Dennis Irwin, Brian Robson. I've seen Brian Robson a lot of times. He's a proper ambassador of the club. But that was the first time I met Dennis Irwin. He's like, I like your tracksuit. He's like, I like your tracksuit. You look good. And I was like, cheers, mate. Courtesy of Adidas. You know what I mean? But nah, it was a good experience. Obviously, the seats were in the director's, kind of like director's box. So it was unreal seats. Honestly, like, the atmosphere was great. That's the one thing. No matter what the performance was saying at certain points, the atmosphere was good. And then for when Joshua Zirkzee came on and scored the winner, it was just a perfect ending, bro.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you would have wanted. A Zirkzee winner, it was just perfect, bro. Great
day. I know, it was a good start to the season. And hopefully we can be at more games.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is, you know, a divide between us. And it's not a, you know, it's a healthy one though. It's a healthy divide. I don't know if you guys have seen SDS have announced Mastermind Season 2 and Culture Cams and Harry Pinero are both going to be there. Now, I'm not gonna say too much, but we're both trying to get that done.
Listen, I wanna win at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know when you cross that white line?
Yeah.
Friendships go.
No,
you know
of course,
mean?
Of
Friendships
course.
Friendships go, rivalries begin. So you're my brother, but for 90 minutes, I don't know you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know
course,
you. So well, I don't know, but we got to see the brackets and stuff, who we match up with. It's going to be interesting. Like, bro, I want Lies in the first round.
Yeah.
I want Lies in the first, let me get him out first
get
round,
him out.
Bro. You know what I mean?
Know,
that's what I want.
Because he's been ducking.
Yeah.
He's been ducking you.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think he's been ducking you.
Listen, I want him first round. Whoever's there, I've seen Pingu has been announced. I've seen Stars.
Star player,
Who else am I missing? Okay, yourself and Rory.
Yeah, Rory, yeah.
So me and Rory, I think we've done one piece of work together, so it'll be good to link up with him. I've never done anything with Pingu. I don't think... Actually, I have done something with Pingu. Same day I did it with Rory.
Okay.
So these are guys that I'm only a little bit familiar with, but... Mm. Listen, you come around this way, you will get clapped.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of it, though, you will regardless, get I am so positive that an Inside Scoop member is going to lift that trophy.
Ooh, yeah, needs to be.
Yeah,
needs
yeah. We've got to put our stocks in either me or Cam. Make sure you guys check SDS for when the first episode comes out. And we're going to be following the whole thing, mm-hmm. even though we're going to be in it, but... Shout out to SDS as well. Cams, you've also been streaming a lot as well. Mm. You haven't invited me down for a stream, which is fine. But yeah, talk to me about your streaming journey, so to speak.
It's been good, you know. It's been good. Not enough. I'll be honest, I'm not consistent enough. Mm. I'm not consistent enough. I got my gaming PC, though. Mm. Shout out Opsis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you guys need a gaming PC, honestly, in terms of custom made, they'll do it exactly how you want it. Go and check Opsis out. It's going to be in my bio on Twitch. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitch or follow Harry, because we got nearly 20K on here.
Yeah.
Why have I not got 20K on Twitch?
Yeah.
Why have I not got 20K on Twitch?
Good question.
So you guys, make sure you guys follow my Twitch. I'm going to be more consistent. I am waiting for stuff like EAFC to come out and the new 2K and FM, all that type of stuff. But I'll be back streaming this weekend after the football. So you guys, man, make sure you guys check that out, man.
No, they will do, they will do. But we're going to talk about the Premier League, of course. And the first game we're going to speak about, or first player, so to speak, we'll speak about is Xerxes. Mm. Now, he came on, I think, the 76th minute. Mm. And honestly, the performance was amazing. There was a lot of positives that I took from that. His link-up play, his touch. Now, Thiago Motta said, you know, that his touch is like Velcro. And we definitely saw that with the way he played as well.
Yeah.
But to score on your debut against Man United, a much needed goal, because we were very wasteful with our chances. Bruno Fernandes had a few, Mason Mount had one as well. And it was just near chances. But generally, I think I was really like happy with that. But Xerxes came on and scored. What did you make of his debut, and how important was that goal for him in terms of his morale as well going into a new club?
It was massive, because I think actually when he came on, he didn't touch the ball for a while.
Mm.
He was just kind of running around a little bit. When he came on, we were kind of losing our way.
Mm.
I think our press had gone and stuff. So, when he got the goal, all of a sudden his performance lifted. You know what I mean? He got on the ball. He was passing it out wide. That little time when he had the ball and he did a little Crave turn, kept the ball, retained it. You know, some people saying he should have put it through to Rashford, but trust me, sometimes when Manchester United play football, just keeping the ball feels like a goal. Honestly, like he just killed the tempo of Fulham. So listen, we look like we got a good player in our hands. We said, as I said, when we saw him at the Community Shield, how big he was in terms of his stature, his frame. And I said, if this guy can combine that with technical ability, you've got a mad player potentially on your hands. So I'm excited about him, man. Honestly, obviously it depends on his fitness, but I'd want to start him against Brighton. Do you know what I mean? Because you could see, as much as the press from Mason Mount was so good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Bruno was helping out Ahmad. The press was much better against Fulham, But you could see there are certain times where the ball, maybe Dallow will have it, Mazraoui will have it, Kobbie will have it, and there's no striker up there. Do you know what I mean? There's no striker because Bruno and Mount were kind of rotating nines. It was kind of a weird little situation. So definitely need Xerxes up there, man. And we need him fit and firing before the Liverpool game.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you mentioned what I was actually going to speak about was the press from Man United. I think it was... it was night and day in comparison to our first game last season. I think we were so much more positive. Wow. We had a lot more possession. And like I said before, we had a lot of chances. But I was really intrigued to see how Mason Mount, Bruno and Kobbie and Casemiro was going to work in that midfield. And I think it worked really well. I think Casemiro followed on from his performance against Man City, made some great decisions. He looks more leaner as well. And I feel like he's up for it. But Mason Mount's role in this Man United team, now, obviously, we know what he's known for is his ball playing abilities and his passing, his final ball, whatever, dead ball. I think in this Man United team, it's about his engine, what he does off the ball. Because I feel like the pressing that he done, usually you associate the pressing only with one player, which is Bruno. But having Mason Mount in this team, I believe that that is his role so far until he starts to, you know, have the moments of brilliance, right? Do you think that's a good thing for us right now? And you know, when Højlund and Xerxes are fit, do you reckon he is someone that we're going to have to take out of the team? And is it going to be unfair?
The thing is, he's going to need to show more on the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reality. Off what he showed off the ball against City and against Fulham was good. But on the ball, he's going to need to show some quality because in that position, obviously, he's kind of occupying a striker's kind of position in terms of who's on the bench. So we're going to need a striker back in the squad regardless. So it's about who's going to drop out. My only concern is if I've only seen the press going well when Mason Mount is on the pitch, because when he came off, it left, by the way. So if I've only seen the press going well when Mason Mount's on the pitch, does that create a dilemma that when he's not on the pitch, our press is going to be kind of similar to last season, which in my opinion, wasn't that impressive. You know, certain times we won the ball in the first third, but the way we were winning it against Fulham in the first third was in their first third was great. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. So it's a little bit of a dilemma there. Is he gonna potentially, you know, at Chelsea he played wide at certain situations, certain times. Is that something that maybe at Ten Hag will look at in the bigger games? Maybe. But you know Bruno's are undroppable for him. Kobbie's undroppable. And Casemiro at this point right now, Ugarte's not here, so Casemiro's undroppable. So Mount is in a kind of a weird situation at the moment. If I'm going against Brighton this week, I would want Mount because I know they're going to try and get on the ball and play. But then I want Xerxes. So I ain't the manager, but he's got a tough call there, man.
He has. But
we need more on the ball.
We do. Who would you say in that game was your player of the match, if you could name one?
It's got to be Maguire, man. You know what I mean? And the thing is, look, Maguire's a weird situation because in an ideal world, you kind of want him to be your fourth choice centre back. I mean, if Maguire's your fourth choice centre back, I think you got good centre halves. De Ligt obviously came in. I think De Ligt came on and played well as well in his little cameo. But Maguire was winning the ball high up. He was winning headers. He bailed out Martinez on a few occasions. So look, Maguire's going to make it tough to take off take his shirt off him. You know what I mean? So, but I think he was the man of the match. And listen, as I said, I gained respect for him in this kind of sub role that he's been doing, filling in role. When he was captain, I think it was a mess. Since then, I think it's been okay. It's been decent. So it's going to be hard, but I'm thinking about Liverpool. I know I shouldn't because Brighton are going to be tough. But I want De Ligt in there for Liverpool, man. I want De Ligt Litra in there for Liverpool. So I don't know. Maguire's not going to make it easy, though. But if he's performing, then I can't just say that, right? He's got to do his thing. So I think it was Maguire. I think Mazraoui was good as well.
Oh, really, really good. I think we're in a good place in terms of having this issue where it's like, what centre-back do we pick? Because we have some good centre-backs with Litra, De Ligt, and obviously, like you said, Maguire. Euro's injured, so we'll see. But I want to take it over to Spain. Kylian Mbappe, his debut in La Liga for Real Madrid. Now, obviously, we saw he scored in the Super Cup against Atalanta. Second half performance for Real Madrid was absolutely phenomenal, and it showed what they can do. But then La Liga's different. What did you make of his debut? And obviously, there was a lot of, you know how it goes on Twitter. There was a lot of statements being made about this is the Mbappe that was at PSG, blah blah blah. And I didn't really read into that as well because it's the first game. You know what I mean? And they obviously did get a player sent off as well. What did you think of that performance?
I think with Mbappe, people are gonna need to kind of see there's going to be a new Mbappe.
Yeah.
So the Mbappe that we saw at PSG, I think there's going to be a completely new one at Real Madrid. Because first of all, he's playing in the nine. Mm. Second of all, there's Vinny there. There's Rodrigo there. There's Jude Bellingham there. Mm. These guys all want to score goals. These guys are all going to be playing in the same kind of pockets of the pitch. Mm. So Mbappe is going to... I think we're going to get an Mbappe where there's going to be a lot of, oh, but he didn't perform well, but he scored. Mm. Oh, but he didn't perform well, but he scored. I think we're going to get a lot of that. Not to the maybe the extent of Erling Haaland, because he'll have more touches. That's just naturally Mbappe, because he'll drift to the left, drift to the right. But when I look at what Real Madrid are, I still think he's going to score bare goals. But I just think in terms of that, you know, that electrifying Mbappe that we saw from 18 to 24, 25, I have question marks if we're still going to see that. Now, Ronaldo made a decision at one point and said, see that electrifying stuff? Love you, man.
Hmm.
I need 1,000 goals. You know what I mean? So maybe yeah, that's going to be what Mbappe is going to have to do.
Mm.
But as I'm saying, I think there's going to be a new reality. But with that new reality, there's going to be a lot of criticism. There's going to be a lot of people that are saying, oh, this is boring. I prefer PSG. I preferred him. Mbappe peaked when he was 18. You're going to get a lot of that. He's just got to block out the noise. Mm. He's going to score goals. He's killing Mbappe. It's just how exciting is he going to be? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. But I my thing with Mbappe is that when he scores, it silences every sort of critic that there is out there. And Mbappe definitely has the attributes to do that. I think now he's at Real Madrid and he's playing with, for me, the best player in the world, with one of the best anyway, with Vinny, and then you've got Bellingham and Rodrigo. Them four players for me, they're set in stone to be some of the best attacking football we're going to see, right? But I think you're right with Mbappe. I think what we're going to see is him being a bit more clinical, being more decisive, because there's other players that can do exactly what he's been doing at PSG. Now, Rodrigo made a statement the other day about, I've been hearing a lot about Vinny, Bellingham.
Put the R there.
And fair play, because we can't just forget about Rodrigo just because Mbappe is there. Yeah. I think it might be a bit more easier for Mbappe in this current team, because there's other players that you can rely on. Mm-hmm. I think obviously Mbappe, you know, the fact that it's been a saga for the last 3 years about him going to Real Madrid, that adds a bit of, you know, pressure. But I think this is what Mbappe wants.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to be criticize him, he scored one in two games.
Yeah, literally. And one was in the final.
And one was in the final. So I think we just got to wait how it sees. But I'm definitely sure that this Mbappe project is going to be fruitful. But it's not just going to be him.
Yeah.
There's going to be... Because Real Madrid have done it already. They're Champions League winners anyway.
Let's talk about debuts, though.
Yes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Because that was made me think. That made me think. Like when I saw Xerxes scored, and I saw people getting a gas, and I saw people getting onto Mbappe, I was like, debuts are so funny. They're just
Onana scored as well, and Amadou Onana scored as well.
It's like so funny. Like debuts, the way it could like paint a picture and stuff is hilarious. Yeah. So I was just thinking, like, and this is one for the viewers as well. For you though, that you have seen, what are some, you can either say your favorite or best. What are some of the best or favorite debuts you've seen of all time?
All right, so I'm gonna go with one that I remember watching it live. Well, all of them I've watched live, and it was Aguero when he signed for Man City, because he came on maybe about 60 minutes. Goals, two goals, 60 minutes in. And obviously they signed him for Atletico Madrid, and there was a lot of hype about him, and he showed it straight away.
Yeah.
It was two. I remember he scored outside of the box. It just nestled into the bottom corner. And then he scored again, and I was like, this is him. It just looked super organic, super like he knew what he was doing and what he came.
Banger.
Yeah, from outside of the box. Yeah, he absolutely smashed it in. And I think he went on to be probably one of the best Premier League strikers that we've ever seen. That's one that I remember. Yeah. And I was like, this guy is, and he's actually one of my top five strikers I've ever seen. Like, in terms of what I've seen, there's obviously, and we said this before, I like to judge players based on the generation. Mm-hmm. Now, I think from 2010 up until 2020, that is what I class as a generation, because it's 10 years of absolute dominance, innit? He is top five for me.
Best.
And that performance.
I've got one.
Yeah.
it's close to my heart.
Yeah.
It's close to my heart, man. I've got to say Wayne Rooney.
Ah, oh, come on, man.
Wayne Mark Rooney. When that man joined Manchester United, yeah, like I remember I was young and just everybody wanted Wayne Rooney because he had just come off the Euros, bro. He had just come off that crazy Euros and it was just like Rooney euphoria, you know what I mean? And he finally came to Man United, stepped onto the pitch in the Champions League, looked around Old Trafford and said, I'm going to end my career here, all-time scorer. Yeah, I'm going to dominate this place.
Yeah.
He just walked on with a, as everyone says now, with an aura. And then he just got worksy, man. Honestly, bruv. Like, the goals as well. A free kick. One opened up his body, smashed it into the bottom corner.
Audacity.
Bro, all of the goals were just nasty. It was a beautiful hat-trick. What a player, man. Honestly, the feeling that I got when I saw that, I just thought, this is the best player in the world, man. I've just seen him come off the Euros. He's scoring hat-tricks on his debut for Man United. I couldn't believe it. And he just gave you that feeling that you knew this guy's going to be one of the reasons why Man United come back to start winning trophies. Because people might forget, Invincibles were there. Chelsea came through, started coming. But Wayne Rooney held us down in them moments, man. Honestly, what a debut. I'll never forget that one. So that's definitely up there, man. Best and favourite debuts of all time.
All right, so my one, my next one is during a time where I feel like United were, again, this is not, obviously my first one's Man City, so my second one's obviously has to be United. Now you said Wayne Rooney and I was going to use that one, but Anthony Martial, that debut against Liverpool, yeah? Now what Martial was hyped up to be, he came to Manchester United, he came to the Premier League, and he definitely lived up to that expectation. Because it's a Liverpool, it's a derby, it's a game that we definitely need to. And I think, you know what adds a bit more drama to it was Martin Tyler. Martial! Goosebumps! Goosebumps!
Wow.
He slotted it, and I thought, we're back. I felt like we're back. Yeah. Like it
I
just
said, welcome to Manchester.
Yeah, like
Anthony Martial. Come on.
Like those moments, yeah, you never forget those. So for me, and obviously Anthony Martial's career has been very stop start, and it's one of them ones where it hurts because it's like what he could have been, what he could have, all of that. Mm-hmm. And I remember a lot of people were like, oh, he's undercover, but he's actually not a United fan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying to say? But Anthony Martial's debut in terms of one of my favorite ones, I would put that there.
Okay, so I don't want to make it all Manchester United.
Yeah.
But it's hard because there's been a few good debuts at our club, bro. There's been a few good debuts. Let me think of one non-Man United. Have you got any other one?
So,
I've said Man United, though.
Two.
Mm.
But it's in Manchester, both teams. I'm going to go Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
as well.
Marcus Rashford against Arsenal.
Premier League debut.
Yeah, Premier League debut was like, we needed him.
Oh,
it's, but in that game, like, we didn't know how much we needed Marcus Rashford, but oh my.
Wow.
Those two goals, like, it was just like, and obviously he had scored in the Europa League against Midtjylland. And I was like, all right, cool. Maybe it's, you know, it's a little fluke or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But he went and scored again. And he looked like a baby them times as well. So yeah, Marcus Rashford, what a way to announce yourself as a Manchester United player. At a moment where we had a lot of injuries as well. And I think that obviously set his career to where it is right now. So yeah, that'll be my three.
That's the thing, is there's so many that are Man United related, because I remember there was even Van Nistelrooy scored in his. There's so many like that people have come, and Zlatan, I remember he scored in Community Shield final against Leicester. That was amazing. But you know, we'll leave that to the viewers.
Yeah, the last.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we can just go through Man United ones all day long. I'm trying to think, have Arsenal had some iconic
debuts? You're forgetting. Erling Haaland
against West Ham. Was it West Ham?
Yeah,
that was good. I mean, you know what? Let me tell you something about that Haaland one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Haaland had missed an open goal against Liverpool in the Community Shield just before that. And Darwin Núñez scored, I think maybe the winner. I remember when they were walking into the league, people were saying, oh, it's going to be Núñez v Haaland. But bro, has there ever just been a moment like when a player scored that you just knew?
It's over.
Because as soon as Erling Haaland was through on goal against West Ham, opened up body and slotted it, you just knew that it's that.
And the way he finished that as well, like his whole body went with it. Like it was a finish.
You knew that was over. Do you know one as well? Cesc Fabregas' debut for Chelsea against Burnley. First game of the season.
The touch
when he made
to
that
Sherlock.
Assist. Okay. another moment.
Cry.
Another moment where you knew.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, this league, yeah, it's long. Yeah, Costa and him, yeah, you knew it was long. That debut, I mean, I can't even really recall his whole performance.
Yeah.
But just that particular moment, you just knew, bro. Forget about it. Let's prepare for 15, 16, honestly.
Now, there's another one, yeah? And I remember, I had to search this one up, yeah? Mm-hmm. And it was Paulo Wanchope, yeah?
Wow.
Against Manchester United in 97.
Showing your age there, mate.
Yeah, I am.
Damn.
Now, that one, the reason why is because I remember watching Premier League years.
Yeah.
Recently as well, like, you know, sometimes they run it back, yeah? And obviously, that was the year where Arsenal were victorious over us or whatever, yeah? Mm-hmm. But That against Man United, a good Man United as well, transitioning into what became of the 99 team, yeah.
But want to try a free sample?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Fast.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Signos.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I just remember him galloping past players. And you know, you look at a player and you think, aye, he is him.
Yeah.
But obviously, playing for Derby County, it's a bit like, there's only a certain limit you can go to. So Paulo Wanchope, just one that I remember. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I remember this.
Yep.
But that's just me showing my age.
Paulo Wanchope, that is a name that I never thought would pop up on Inside Scoop, guys. So that's the first.
Yeah, you know
Paulo
I mean.
Wanchope. But let's move on anyway.
Yeah, so guys, let us know if we've missed out on any debuts as well.
We have,
of course. But this is just fresh from the memory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the Premier League resumes again this weekend. And we're going to look at some fixtures and... Do you want to do who you think's going to win, or do you want to just have a look at...
There's Aston Villa or Arsenal. That's the major one.
Yeah.
That's
so let's speak about that then. Aston Villa, Arsenal, both teams, both won on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say convincing results, performances. I think Villa, you know, they were doing well. And then obviously West Ham equalised, and then it was kind of like a bit of a cagey one, but Villa ended up getting the W now. We looked at Villa and said, you know, we think they're going to finish sixth. They're in the Champions League as well, or seventh or whatever. Arsenal should finish second, maybe even first, who never knows. But what kind of indication would this result have on both teams in terms of where they're going to finish? Obviously, it's early doors, but every game counts.
You know what, it's early. I think it's Arsenal would want to go and put a statement out in terms of, listen, it's funny because we're saying statement, but it's only the second game in the season. But Arsenal would still want to go put out performance where it's like, we're still ready for the season. We're still going to be up there. Do you know what I mean? They lost their last season. I think Villa did the double over them last season, I believe it was. So they ain't going to want to let that happen again. That's for sure. So they're going to want to get it back against Villa. It's only the second game of the season. So I do think, obviously, since the pressure is a little bit lower, if this was like April and they're going away to Villa, I'll be saying, yo, good luck. I don't know if you're getting a result. But for some reason, I think Arsenal are going to go Villa and get a win.
Yeah,
I think Arsenal are going to get a win early and just let everyone know, we're still big as Villa. Yeah, your time will come. But I think Arsenal are going to go out there and get a win, because if they lose, there'll be a little bit of a meltdown because they've only signed one player so far.
Mm.
I think Arsenal are going to go and get the dub. No disrespect to Villa, because Villa have been brilliant.
Mm.
And Villa are going to want to show everyone, you guys think, just because we're in Europe, we're not that team anymore. Mm. Let's show you. So it's going to be a very, very good game. Everybody better tune into that. 5:30 as well. That's the one thing, though.
And it's at Villa
Park.
Because
if it's getting a bit dark outside if the lights start turning on at Villa Park, then okay.
Yeah.
It might get spooky for Arsenal, you know what I mean? But I just think Arsenal are going to, they're going to edge it. I'm going to give Arsenal a win. I'm going to probably go to Arsenal like 2-1.
Yeah. All right. So Tottenham looked amazing that first half. amazing against Leicester. It was like, oh God, this is going to be 3-0. I called Solanke scoring two goals, but I really did that because of my FPL.
Fairweather Madison.
Yeah, and then Madison's performance, even
in the first half
and obviously the second half, I think he was still good, but obviously he got substituted, obviously maybe because of his fitness or whatever. How upset do you think Ange was? Because that game was in their hands, and then obviously Premier League heritage, Jamie Vardy ended up spoiling it for them with some absolute shithousery.
I love that, man. Come on, man.
Let's have it right. Tapping the badge, saying you lot ain't won one Premier League, but we have.
Do you know how crazy it is for him to be at Leicester City to be able to flex a Premier League?
Yeah. Have manners.
I don't think people deep that, because we're so used to our teams winning. He's at Leicester. He's not doing it like, oh, I'm at City. Oh, look, I'm at Liverpool. I'm at Man United. He's at Leicester City and he's able to tell other clubs, I've got one. You ain't.
He's a legend of this game, bro.
He's a legend in this league, man, honestly. But Tottenham will be disappointed. I saw Ange, he was hands on his knees, bro. He was like, I can't believe this. Same again. Like, Spurs are just, listen, I'm not going to use the term Spursy or anything, but Spurs are just like, bro, how they didn't go on and win that game is incredible. And Spurs are going to have to be picking up results early, late, it doesn't matter. Spurs need to get a thing going on at the moment, because their window has been good, their window has been decent, but everyone expects Spurs to kick on this year. Second season, Ange, blah, blah, blah. You're expecting these teams to kick on, and dropping points like that to a newly promoted team is very disappointing. Now, I know everyone says newly promoted, they got the bounce, they're on. Listen, you should have won that game. Leicester looked terrible. Their fans weren't even getting involved. And then once you started letting them have a sniff, Jamie Vardy gets involved, it's over for you. Yeah, you know what I mean? For me, poor result.
Yeah. So against Everton, who lost 3-0 against Brighton, you know, we said it.
I might have to rewrite mine.
No, don't worry. That's just the premature one. This is not the definitive one.
Yeah, because I said Brighton underachievers.
Yeah.
Everton to stay up.
Yeah, you said that. Man, that's that preseason cams. But Everton, I mean, look, Everton have just lost probably one of their best players with Onana going to Aston Villa. There's a gap in that midfield. No Branthwaite. Because obviously maybe he's still injured. How important is this game for them? Because you spoke about momentum as well. Two losses on a bounce can kind of set you up for what your season's going to be. And Sean Dyche will be probably looking at his team like, what can I do with these bunch of players?
Bro, I think Sean Dyche has to do, I said to Leahs the other day, I think Sean Dyche has to do a top five job this season. Like, Sean Dyche has to be a top five manager in the Premier League this season to keep Everton up. Bro, I tuned into Match of the Day because I wanted to see how Brighton cooked them. I turned on my TV and I saw Jack Harrison and Dwight McNeil still trying to beat Everton spark in 2024, bro. I'm sorry, like, no disrespect to them players, but if those are your go-to guys to try and ignite something with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who, I mean, it's been a while, it's lockdown, it's been a while since he's really been a good top player, bruv. I'm worried for Everton now. I mean, that squad has to be one of the worst in the Premier League. And unfortunately, that's just a real Ashley Young
getting sent off. No, headless.
He's 30,
man.
How old? Headless. 39. Is he 38?
He's on. He's getting on.
Come on, man! Like, this is crazy. And he's a guaranteed start. Like, you know, James Milner. He's now coming off the bench and. Ashley Young is a starting fullback in the Premier League at 38. He was a flying winger.
Idrissa Gueye and Doucouré as well. Come on. No,
let's have it right.
Let's just have it right, man.
Let's have it right.
Michael Keane.
What is this?
Wish you nothing but the best. But yeah,
Michael Keane.
It's tough. It is tough.
Wow. That team is nil.
Beto.
Maupay went back. I had no idea.
Yeah, obviously, because that's originally his club.
I thought he got released. I thought he was a free agent.
No, Neil Maupay is a Everton football player.
Wow.
I think Marseille are trying to buy him, or someone, a French
team.
I'm
sorry. Let me go back to that lineup, please. Let's get to that lineup. I just need to read out this lineup, right? This can't be.
That's Everton, man.
This was the game. Wow. I thought I'm reading last season's team.
Yeah, no, this is them.
Jordan Pickford, Ashley Young, Tarkowski, Michael Keane, Malenko, Tim, I don't even know how to say his name, but
Hugo Burnham.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's good. He had a good time at QPR. Idrissa Gueye, okay. Jack Harrison, Decore, McNeil, Calvert-Lewin. They're bringing on Mason Holgate and Beto.
And Ndiaye.
Ndiaye's
well.
Decent. Yeah. I need to see more of him. But, I mean, then the rest of their bench, my goodness. Neil Maupay. I don't even know the rest of these guys, bro. Like, no, nah, I'm worried for them.
No, I am as well. I'm worried. It's
has a job on
Yeah, it's got a job. And if he is able to keep them in the Premier League, credit where credit's due, because it is not the strongest team that we've seen in the Premier League.
Brighton, but, though?
Yeah, no, they looked...
Welbs.
Yes. No, Welbs is... Let's have it right, though.
Should Welbs have been one of them 15-year Manchester United players?
It's tough to say, man. It's tough to say because...
Should he have been a long-term servant?
Because I feel like Man United have transitioned into something else. And I think for the benefit of Welbs' career, it was good that he went to Arsenal. And it was good that he went to Brighton. I feel like he's found his club at
what
Brighton.
What question, though?
Yeah.
But could you not see Welbeck playing for every manager we've had since then, though?
Yeah.
Like, imagine Welbeck in a Ten Hag system. He would actually be all right.
No,
Welbeck for was it Jose? He would be all right.
Look, Welbeck. I wasn't.
He'd have cooked for Ollie.
I wasn't pro Welbeck out. Yeah, but I understood why he needed to go.
Of course.
I feel like at the time we're talking about Van Persie and Falcao, all these players that were like. Going to be playing ahead of you no matter what, so he had to go in
but
he's always been a model professional and has always scored goals wherever he's
Mad
gone to
athlete.
In it a very good athlete, strong, and even when injuries have happened to him, he's always come back stronger as well.
Yeah,
and to get a goal and assist in that game, it just shows it's just time. It was a timeless performance from him, and then obviously you've got Matoma back in the goals as well.
I think, should we be worried?
100%
should we be
100%
worried?
We are playing
Minta, he looked.
Yeah, we're playing at the Amex as well. So I think for me, yeah, at 12:30, it's a game that we can't afford to get into it slow. We've got to take full dominance of that game. And it's going to be difficult to do so because Brighton are a top team.
It's going to be interesting because I think Brighton will dominate the ball.
100%.
So are we going to play on the counter? So what would Ten Hag go with?
I think what you mentioned earlier about Mason Mount, I think we have to press a lot.
But we need a counter for it.
We do. And this is why our bench, though, I'm very positive about our bench. Like, Garnacho coming off the bench is a good option. Xerxes coming off the bench is a good option as well. So we can change the way we play based on the options that we have on the bench. Yeah. And I think we just got to see how they play. Obviously, Ten Hag and his team are going to look at how well they played against Everton. Now, obviously, Everton are not Manchester United. So it's a different opposition. But the positives in that game from Brighton, we've got to utilise that and be like, okay, cool. This is how they're going to play. Mm-hmm. We know how Brighton play. They keep the ball well and they will create chances as well. This is going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, man.
But I still feel like with the way we've played over the last two games, I still think we can get a win. I'm being very positive about that. I think it'll be very tight.
Yeah.
I also think Brighton will score as well.
Yeah, I'm going for a draw, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm going for a draw. I think it'll be a score draw, definitely. I think it'll be 2-2.
Yeah? 2-2. All right, so we've gone... The one I want to speak about is Wolves against Chelsea.
It's an interesting one.
That's an interesting game because I think, obviously, Chelsea's performance against Man City was not amazing, but there was opportunities for them.
Yeah.
Now, Nico Jackson up front, I had to tweet it. I said, he's hilarious, man. Like, honestly, he does everything you could wish for, bar scoring goals.
His level of... You can't control that randomness.
Yeah, it's super random.
How can a manager... You can't control that, bro. He's nuts, bro. He's nuts. Like Chelsea... bro, Chelsea needs to get a striker in because if he's going to continue doing that... When he start, I know he was offside, but when he was just dropping every man and he shot like that...
Yeah, that's what made me laugh because I was like, you did everything you're supposed to do.
Have you seen Mikel's run? Have you seen John Obi Mikel's run?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. You ain't seen his... 3 minute, 4 minute passion.
No,
Chelsea
I need to
run.
See that because yeah, he's an iconic man.
Oh my, he's like, listen.
Yeah. Okay. that West London Nigerian accent. Oh, John Obi,
like,
man.
Bro, he's like, listen, we have to talk about it. He's like, He's like, Nico Jackson. Listen, Chelsea need a striker. He's like, the way he shoots the ball. In my day, we had Didier Drogba.
Yeah.
And the way he shoots, we need somebody that can score goals. Like, now I'm not saying anything about him. No disrespect to him. And then even there was one point when he was like, they were talking about. He's like, Chelsea need to bring in players that improve the team. They need to bring in players that improve the team. Now I don't want to dig him out because it's not his fault, but Chelsea brought some Jewsbury Hall. This doesn't improve the team. When in my day, we'll bring in Balak and we'll bring on Shevchenko and Ashley Cole. Like, this doesn't improve.
All right, bro.
No, I need to see this.
I was crying, bro. Yeah. It was real passion. Do you know what's good to see, though? We've had United legends. There's been Liverpool legends. Arsenal have had representation as well, like Lee Dixon, Ian Wright, and stuff like that. But Chelsea's like Jose crop. Haven't really gone into the media like that. Lampard's trying to manage. He's been in media sometimes. Joe Cole is more, he's like a fan. He's like a fan. He doesn't, he's very passionate about Chelsea, like on a fan kind of side of thing. John Terry doesn't do it. Ashley Cole trying to coach as well. Drogba's an ambassador of Africa doing all these things that he's doing. So Mikel's actually one of the first Chelsea old guard to actually now be transitioning to the media. So it's going to be interesting to see, because I'm already seeing Chelsea fans say, shut up, why is he talking like he was Makaleli? Why is he talking like he wasn't one of, he was our Dewsbury Hall of the good old days. I'm like, ah, oh, bro, they're not ready for it. We've been dealing with this our whole life, bro. Gary Neville, Roy Keane, Scholes, all of that. So it's hilarious.
But I think that's a good thing, in my opinion. And let us know what you think, guys, because I am of the opinion that when you are a fan of a team, because you've played for them and you've played for them at a high level, you're in your right to say how you feel. Because someone like John Obi Mikel, it's disrespectful to say you wasn't a Makalele, because really and truly, we've said this before, when John Obi Mikel was coming on the pitch, it's to shore things up. The game's not won, but when he's on the pitch, he done everything right.
Champions League final.
Like he was phenomenal. But I think with Chelsea, the issue that we've all said before, and I said this before about why I think they'll finish, is because I don't think that they understand or they know their best team. And that takes time. But you can't do that in a Premier League season. I feel like, especially with the type of team that they are, the amount of money that they've spent on players, Cole Palmer is the standout player in the team. Thiago Silva is now gone. Ben Chilwell is not playing. He's been ostracised along with Raheem Sterling.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next thing as well. It's the simple fact of, there is a lot that hasn't been resolved at that club.
Yeah.
So in order for them to get results, it has to be moments of brilliance. Now, there was opportunities in that game, and and who better to go up against and showcase your abilities than Man City? And they fell short. Their next game now, it's going to be tough. Wolves obviously lost against Arsenal, but they're both going to be, they've got a lot to prove. Now, I want to obviously take some attention over to what, you know, has been said about Raheem Sterling and Ben Chilwell. Now, Sterling's camp put out a tweet or a statement after the lineups had been announced, basically saying that, you know, Sterling has been there 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
He's been training really, really well, and he has 3 years left on his contract, but he's not in the team. And now he's been said he's not in the match. He's not in the plans.
Yeah.
What the hell's happening here?
Bro, honestly, it's a circus. I personally, as I said before, I love Raheem Sterling. I love his career. I've always supported Sterling, you know what I mean, in terms of when people are saying he's not a City legend and blah, blah, blah. When he went to City, I was like, good move, turned his back on Liverpool, all the stuff, the Sun, everything that's happened with Raheem Sterling, I've supported it the whole way. But I don't agree with that statement, personally. I don't agree that they should have put that out 10 minutes before kickoff or whatever, or 10 minutes before, after the lineup had come out, Maresca's first game against Manchester City. I just think that was totally unnecessary. I think that was bad timing. And Maresca has now doubled down on it. And the club have doubled down on it. Like, hold on. We told you on Friday that it's good for you. Like, you're not in our plans. So if that is the case, it's he say, she say at this point. But it's a circus that has come publicly. You know what I mean? And now Maresca's nipped it in. But the way Maresca's talking, Maresca said, I don't care if these guys have 20 years on their contract. They're not in my plans. When he said that, I was like, yeah, this guy, he's moving crazy. He said, Sterling, good player, but he's just not my type of winger. Like, he is really going in. And listen, I don't think Sterling deserves that level of harshness.
Yeah.
I don't believe he does. But if he's not in Maresca's plans, then that's Maresca's decision. You know what I mean? A lot of people say, no, well, the club are probably forcing him to do that. The club could have given him 10 names and been like, out of these names, you can't keep all of them. Some need to go. And Sterling might have been one of the ones where he said, yeah, well, Sterling, he can go. You got him coming from. So I think people have got to let Maresca do his job. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate for Sterling, but now he's got to start looking on. And listen, yes, there's going to be naturally in the board, The board, when you come in and there's a failing team, anywhere you go, Coca-Cola, if you work at Google, wherever you go, if a new member of a board walk in and there's a failing team and you're looking at the contracts, you start looking at who's at the top first, what's going on. And Sterling's one of the highest earners, and let's keep it 100, he's not been that good at Chelsea. Yes, they're going to try to get rid of him. Yes, they're going to try to get rid of Ben Chilwell because they've not done anything. Well, Chilwell has, but now he's not the greatest. It's just the natural way of football clubs run, bro. So, honestly, it's tough for Sterling. Honestly, I feel bad for him, but hey, where can he go now? That's the real question.
That's true. Before we play a game, I've got a last bit of information. Is Gundogan is potentially, well, it's near enough completed, I guess. He's coming back to...
Tell us what you told me.
To Manchester City.
Tell them what you told me.
So I was supposed to be at the PFA Awards yesterday, but I was super tired and I was like, you know what? The journey to Manchester, I was like, allow me, innit? So Avelino went there and obviously he's good friends with the CEO, Mejeta. So he said he saw Pep Guardiola.
Oh my God.
And obviously he's gone over to Pep Guardiola and he said, surely not five in a row. And he goes, oh no, it's impossible. It's impossible. No, we can't do that. No, it can't happen. No. When Av told me this morning, I was in the gym, man, you know? I cried because that's what Av said. Av said he's not well.
He's a sick man. Because
of course he thinks it's going to happen. Of course. And then you now go and get Gundogan back, who when he left, we was like, we don't know how important this guy was. He's brought him back.
After doing a four-peat.
Along with now Rodri, Kovar. It's about to be, it's going to be a joke. Like, and look, it's hard for me to, we looked at City and we was like, they've only bought one player. Now it's going to be two, but it's someone who knows Pep's system.
It's easy, it's going to be seamless. It's going to be seamless. This is, so far we've got three quotes of Pep Guardiola this season. First one, we will be late. That's what he said, we will start the season late. Second one, he said, my team, we're not motivated to win the league. We're not motivated. He said, at the end of the season, that's when we'll be back. And now he's saying, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. This guy is a
sicko. He's not well, man.
And we know at the end of the season what's going to blue confetti.
In the air.
Pep, you're a madman, honestly, bro.
All right. So I want to introduce this game where I won't tell Cams what the game is and he won't tell me, right?
Okay.
Now, I want to see how many players, because it's a top 10.
Yes.
Of players that have scored with their left foot. Wow. So the amount of goals that they've scored with their left foot. Yeah?
In Premier League history.
Wow. It's a top 10. All right? So guys at home, if you're watching, I want you to do the same, but also you can bring a game in for me the next time, all right? So top 10. And whatever player you say, if they're on the list, I'll let you know where they are on the list as
well. Okay.
Yeah?
Okay, cool. All right, so left footers only.
Yeah.
So left foot goals, okay. Van Persie.
Van Persie is third.
He's third, okay. Robbie Fowler.
He's second. 105 in 379 games.
Okay. Is Haaland maybe like snuck his way in already?
He is not in the top 10.
It's too early. Louis Saha?
Yes, Louis Saha is 10th.
Ooh.
He's 10th.
With how much?
46 left-footed goals in 289 games.
Wow. Wait, Haaland's got more. Maybe, is this old?
This is.
Actually, no, but Haaland, some could have been with his head as well and stuff.
It's pretty new.
Okay. Wow, left-footers, Ryan Giggs.
Ryan Giggs is on the list as well.
Okay, where is he?
Ryan Giggs is fourth.
Oh.
83 in 632.
Okay. He's fourth at 83. Ryan Giggs, left foot.
Now, Haaland would be on this list.
Okay.
But he would push Louis Saha.
Okay. That's fine. I'm bugging. Mohamed Salah.
Mohamed Salah is number one.
Yes, of course.
Obviously, he's number one. Obviously, it's changed now, but he's number one by far as well.
Mohamed Salah. Okay, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Are any of them actually not left-footed?
No, all of them are left-footed. Yeah.
Wow.
The last clue that I'm going to give you,
Oh, Daniel, oh my God. Sorry, Chase.
Number nine.
He's number nine. How many?
With 47 goals. And
so it's getting kind of low.
Yeah.
Is any of them not a striker?
Yeah.
This is defender?
No.
Not a defender. Okay. No.
So you're missing two strikers, one winger, and one cam.
Oh, nah.
Okay, well, that is it.
Nah.
You got six out of ten. You missed number eight, David Silva.
Oh, my days!
David Silva.
You know, you just don't think about him with goals.
Yeah, 49 and 309. Number seven, Oliver Giroud.
That's
50 in 255.
That's poor.
Number six, Romelu Lukaku. 60 in 278. And in the one that I thought he's defo gonna get, Riyad Mahrez, 65
oh my gosh.
In 276.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that's the 6 out of 10, not bad though. And you know what? Honorable mentions for the fact that you said Robbie Fowler.
Oh my.
And Luis Sahar as well. So 6 out of 10. So next week you got a game for me.
God damn.
Or whenever we next film, you got a game for me. But That has been the Inside Scoop. I've been Harry Panera. That's been Culture Cams. Let us know in the comments as well. Play this game as well. I hope you guys play the game before I've said this anyway. And see you next time.